Good morning and welcome to Cook's Presbyterian Church. It feels very, very good to be back in this pulpit. I think the last time was in January 2018, the first Sunday after TJ left, and time just goes by very quickly. But it's a real blessing to be with you. Look forward to this time of worship. I have to send you the regrets of my dear wife, Star Ann. She's in the choir at a church in Cornelius, and if you can believe it, the choir director expects her to be there on Sunday. So that's the reason she's not with us here this morning. And my hope is, I have four more Sundays when I'm going to be preaching with you. My hope is that at least one of those she can join us. So we have a couple of announcements. Today we're going to have, I think, because of the weather, it's cleared up a bit, fellowship on the lawn, cookies and drinks. Deacons are meeting at 11:15 in the wing of the sanctuary, and there's a mission ministry meeting in room 113 at 11:15. No missions meeting. Late breaking news. No missions meeting. Thank you. That works. We also, next Saturday, have the Cook's Fall Festival, which looks like a wonderful opportunity, from 3 o'clock to 6, so please, not only you attend, but bring neighbors, friends, family members, and others for a wonderful opportunity to get to know one another and to just have fellowship in the church. Are there any other announcements for the good of the church?
Yes. Okay. So we have the junior and senior high youth are going to meet today at 4 o'clock in the fellowship hall. So I look forward to seeing each and every one of you.
Okay. Very good. All right, then, so let us begin our time of worship with a psalm reading, Psalm 16, verses 9 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave,
nor will you let your Holy One see decay.
You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. So our first hymn is one of the old hymns of the church, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, number 263.
Oh,
One of the earliest teachings of Jesus as he was starting his gospel ministry was a command to the crowd in front of him and to his disciples, three very simple words, repent and believe. And for 500 years in the Reformed Church since the Reformation, we have come to the Lord to cleanse our hearts and minds so that we may hear the word read and the word rightly spoken, and that it will be within us and carry us through until the next time we worship. So let us now admit our sin. Join me in the prayer of confession. Gracious and loving God, you have given us a sure word, sealed by your Spirit in the free and lasting gift of your Son. In Christ you have set us free from bondage. You have bound up and healed our wounds, and you have led us on pathways of peace and service. We admit that we often listen to other voices and turn aside many times from your truth. Too often we walk down pathways of words spoken and behaviors lived we should not take. In your great mercy, forgive us, we pray, and enable us to bear witness at all times to the saving grace and goodness of Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us go to the Lord in a moment of silent confession. Lord, hear these, our silent prayers, rendered from our heart, through Jesus Christ our Lord, unto you. Amen. We are baptized by the Holy Spirit and by water into the family of Jesus Christ. By his grace and love, we are forgiven by our sins. By his sacrifice on the cross, the price of our sins has been paid. We are forgiven. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes a match is a wonderful thing. Well, you know what? We know it should be lit. We'll just continue to move on. We now have the opportunity to render unto the Lord what we believe as Christians, what we believe of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, using the Apostles' Creed as our testimony. Christians, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. On the evening of the third day when Jesus appeared to his disciples in that darkened room, they were scared to death because through that locked door, they saw an apparition surrounded in light. And it wasn't until he said to them two words in Hebrew that the scales fell off their eyes and they understood it was the risen Christ. He said to them, Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. And they replied, Aleichem Shalom. So the peace of Christ be with you. Let us share it one with another. And also, and also. Be seated. I believe Elder Dale Lucky is going to do our Old Testament reading. Got your book?
Yeah. Isn't it nice to have a familiar face back up in the pulpit again?
Yes.
I'll be reading Proverbs 22, 1 through 5. It'll be found on page, 647 in the New Bible. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. In the paths of the wicked lie thorns and snares, but he who guards his soul stays far from them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I believe this is a time for children and youth to come forward.
Our faith.
for the opportunity
to have persistence in our lives.
Our gospel reading is in the gospel according to Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 13. Hear again the word of the Lord. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have men call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have only one master, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. The greatest among you will be your servant. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God of grace, love, and mercy, grant that the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts and minds to truly embrace your word. Guide us to understand your meaning for our lives, that we may walk in the footsteps of Christ, and give me the words to proclaim your gospel rightly and in truth. Amen. I think the most challenging expectation of Jesus for those who heard him preach then, and for those of us who hear the gospel read today, is to walk the talk of the gospel. You know, then as now, this is a message that often is not well received. Jesus preaches an honest message, causing some to get angry and confrontational because they don't like what they're hearing. He doesn't tailor his gospel to the opinions of his audience. He does not soft sell the commands and expectations of God for those calling themselves believers. He never seeks favor with the rich and the powerful, including, as you know from hearing Matthew 23, particularly the temple officers. He knows who he is, he knows what he stands for, and he is not a pleaser. Jesus has little patience with the arrogance, self-righteousness, and hypocrisy of those calling themselves religious but not living like it. Now, the Apostle Paul writes of these concerns to the churches he organized. And in 2 Timothy 4, Paul prophesies 2,000 years ago on the condition of the church you may find applicable today. Hear what Paul wrote to Timothy. "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. As for you, always be steady, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Paul encourages us as believers to stay the course and not be swayed by those who would manipulate or reject the gospel of Christ. He reminds us to fulfill our baptismal and membership vows by loving God and our neighbor instead of following the ways of society, the ways of the world. You know, there are times when all of us are not going to live up to the vows we make to God. There will be times when we pray Our Father on Sunday and then act like orphans the rest of the week. Lack of humility, though, can have consequences, can it? And those consequences can come when we least expect it. A case in point is the story of a young pastor invited to be the sixth presenter at a church conference. He's a new pastor and honored, maybe even a little bit puffed up by the offer to preach. At the beginning of the conference, the audience fills every seat. I mean, this auditorium is just jam-packed. And he's thinking, they must be here for me. They must have heard I'm really a good preacher. And look at all these people that I'm going to have the opportunity to preach to. What a great way to start my career. Over an hour later, it's his turn to preach, and he's deeply disappointed. There's only one man sitting out in the audience. But he thinks to himself, you know, I came here to preach, and preach I will. And he gave it everything he had. And at the end of his sermon, he goes down and thanks the man for staying there and listening to his sermon. And the man replies, well, I didn't really come here to listen to you. I'm the last presenter. So, you can see that pride can be the devil's playground and a trap that all of us can easily fall into. And I think this warning is conveyed to us in Proverbs 16:18, where Solomon speaks for God, saying, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. We serve God when we have the humility to recognize that the gifts given to us by God are given to us to be used for the common good. And it begs the question, how are your gifts and mine being used to the glory of God? So Jesus doesn't tolerate those who use their gifts selfishly. He doesn't suffer people puffed up by their self-image of greatness and grandeur, particularly at the expense of others. And this includes these Pharisees and temple scribes who appear as he's preaching in front of a crowd in Matthew 23. Now, Jesus looks them over, and I think that this little verse in Proverbs 21 really speaks to what he sees. In Proverbs 21, Solomon teaches that God looks upon and weighs one's heart, not the external person. And Jesus looks within the hearts of these scribes and Pharisees, and what he sees is ugly and black and not godly. And he basically chastises them and says, later in Matthew 23, outwardly you look like righteous people, but inwardly your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. You are filled with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. He's not a pleaser, is he? So Jesus challenges the Pharisees and the scribes' commitment to the Word of God in three sinful behaviors. First, in righteous anger, he looks at them and says, you are those who do not practice what they preach. He tells the crowd to follow what the Pharisees and scribes teach, but don't do what they do not do. Don't follow their example, because there's a gap between what they preach and a tremendous gap between what they really do. They should believe and they should do, but they don't. They follow their own way. And maybe there are times for all of us when we fall into the same situation, where we don't quite meet up to the expectations of the gospel. But those who were called to God's service then, and those of us today, we're under a solemn obligation to do the best we can to walk the talk. And as part of Christ's church, we're obligated to serve him by sharing and living his gospel message. One of the interesting things about Jesus, he never tells us to do anything that he has not already done himself. So with whom are we sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is one of his commands? The second behavior that concerns Jesus is their lack of love and caring, these so-called religious leaders. You know, it's difficult to love and care for others if my highest priority is to love and care myself. He chastises these temple officers as religious leaders for not putting the care of the people as one of their highest priorities. You know what they do is they teach the people to live perfectly the Ten Commandments and then hundreds of other man-made laws. And when the people can't do it, they call them godless. I don't know about you, but living the Big Ten is a very, very high standard, much less 600 other man-made rules. So Jesus basically says to them, you're not caring enough for the people to help them understand what it means to live by God's law, and that repentance is certainly part of that opportunity. So he's saying, you place intolerable burdens on the people, you're loading them down, you're not giving them any hope, and that is not what God intends. So what can you and I do to ease the burdens of others? How can we demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ to those in need? So first, Jesus condemns those who say but they do not do, and then he condemns those who do not care and love the people. Finally, when the Pharisees and scribes do interact with the people, Jesus says, often it's for the wrong reasons. He condemns their pride, their arrogance, and their showy behavior. They dress a certain way in order to attract attention in the marketplace and the synagogue. It's sort of like having a bright neon light flashing, look at me, I'm so godly. They also wear larger phylacteries. These are black boxes they wear on their forehead that has scripture in it. Normally a 2-inch by 2-inch little box. They wear one about 3 times bigger. Why? I'm more godly than you are. I need a bigger phylactery. Some plan their movements in the marketplace and synagogue to be seen by the largest crowds. They go there at noontime and other times when they can flaunt their status. And contrary to the Presbyterian Church, where the back rows are prized, nothing wrong with that. You folks never change your seats. They walk right down the middle aisle and file over here into the front pew so everybody can see that they're in synagogue. And they take the best seats reserved for themselves. Jesus really, this lack of humility and trust in God really irritates Jesus greatly. Because they're self-glorifying themselves instead of glorifying God. And the message of Jesus echoes back through the centuries, back to the prophet Jeremiah, where God says, "Do you seek great things for yourself? Seek them not. I will give you your life." So to summarize, Jesus condemns these church leaders who preach the word but don't live by it. They do not love and care for others, easing the burdens of the people. They're prideful and arrogant. And in a loud voice, and I'm sure he's pointing his fingers at them as he's looking them dead in the eyes, he says, "Woe to you hypocrites." The meaning behind that is there's a judgment coming upon you. At that point, the temple scribes and Pharisees decided to turn around and leave. The people stayed, though. They heard the truth. In Proverbs 22:4, God speaks through Solomon, as Dale Lucky so eloquently read, "Humility and fear of the Lord bring riches, honor, and life." In Matthew 5:5, in the Sermon on the Mount, we remember that Jesus blesses the humble. And in our Matthew 23:11 reading is wisdom directly from Jesus, the Son of God. Listen to this again. "He who is greatest among you shall be your servant." In Hebrew, the word literally means slave. "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Jesus lived that every day of his earthly life. So the humility and love to live the truth of the gospel with fellow Christians and share it with others is our calling from Christ. Now, I've been using this word humility. What does that really mean? What does it mean to be a humble servant of God? Andrew Murray writes, "To be humble means to feel no jealousy or envy. We can praise God when others are preferred and blessed before us. We can bear to hear others praised while we are forgotten. It is possible for us to live this way when we embrace the Spirit of Christ, who pleased not himself and who sought not his own honor. Folks, it's the approval of God that really counts, not the approval of what people in society say. So it isn't easy to live this definition of humility, is it, in a society that often doesn't reward this behavior? It isn't easy to walk the talk of the gospel in humility when temptation is all around us. How many of us at times act as modern-day Pharisees and risk the condemnation of Jesus? Even though we know Jesus warns us not to accommodate ourselves to the ways of society, it's so hard to ignore what's going on around us. It's just so easy sometimes, isn't it, to go along to get along. But more is expected of us. Let's not forget who we are. We are disciples of the Christ, and he expects more of us. Last month, I asked Star Ann, my wife of 46 years, to go with me on a date. She was shocked. It's been a long, long time since I asked her out on a date. And much to my surprise, her mom showed up at our doorstep to go along with us to see the Christian movie, Overcomer. And for 2 hours, my wife's mom was my chaperone, our chaperone. You might ask, why do I know? How do I know she was our chaperone? She sat between us for the entire 2 hours of the movie. I was happy to have her there, but that wasn't quite my idea of a date. But this may get back to my wife, but it'll be okay, really. But the Christian movie Overcomer is an excellent movie and one that I recommend you try to go see. It raises the question of who am I? And to answer the question, a young teenage girl is advised to read and list her answers in Ephesians chapters 1 and 2. And her list includes the following, verbatim: I am chosen and predestined according to his plan to be his adopted child. Who am I? I am redeemed in Christ's blood and my sins forgiven. Who am I? I am saved by grace through faith. In newfound faith, she understands that God claims, redeems, and saves her in Christ, and that she is the daughter of the Most High God. Who am I? Jesus says, I choose each of you and me. But I think he's also asking this morning in this scripture, are you really mine? Who are you? Who am I? Take up your cross, he says, and follow me. So what does your life and my life say about who we really are? Jesus walks the talk every day of his gospel. He faces every kind of hostility and opposition. He's threatened to be stoned. He's run out of towns. He knows that he's facing a death sentence at the end of his 3-year gospel. And yet he never, never walks away from the challenge of spreading the good news and spreading the love of God his Father. He suffers the terrible death reserved for criminals and slaves, dies a terrible death on the cross. Why? Because his heavenly Father asked it of him. So that you and I might not only have our sins forgiven, but that in his resurrection we know we have eternal life awaiting us. He lives and dies the humble, sacrificial slave of you and me. Every generation for 2,000 years, people have responded to his call of Christian service without thought of recognition, honor, or fame. They live the gospel regardless of obstacles, suffering, and sacrifice. Folks, this is your time at Cook's Church for a new beginning. For a new beginning that involves sacrificial service to each other as one family and service to people out in this community, many of whom are moving in from places in the country, other places around the South. They do not have a church. 50% of the people in this area do not know Jesus Christ and have no church affiliation whatsoever. So in humility and love, apply your skills, talents, and gifts to take care for and ease the burdens of others so they may see the light of Christ through you. Walk the talk of your faith. Be steady. Do the work of an evangelist in this community and serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by your ministry. Amen. We render up now unto the Lord our prayers of the people. We certainly have a long prayer list here on the back of the bulletin. I would ask that you think about others that you would like to lift up in prayer, and we will have a moment of silent prayer in the midst of this where we can render unto the Lord those whom we know need his care. So let us now, I'm a little bit ahead of my time, aren't I? No, I'm not. Okay. I was going to think I had almost missed the collection, which is an unpardonable sin for a pastor, but I haven't done that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask that you bless the Universal Church of Jesus Christ. Bless Cook's Church as it continues in a time of transition to embrace your will, to walk the talk of the gospel of your Son. Bless the elders, the deacons, all who serve within the church. Bless those who carry the word of Jesus Christ out into this community. And Lord, bless the pastor nominating committee as they continue to work hard to find the person that you have selected for this church who will be a leader and guide this church to this future you would have us enjoy. Lord, we ask your blessing on everyone on the prayer list and ask that in this moment of silent prayer, you hear us raising up unto you those we know who need your healing touch. Father, surround all those on the list, all those who have been lifted up in prayer unto you. May your healing touch, your Holy Spirit surround them with your grace and love so that they feel the comfort of your presence every minute of every day until, in your will, these prayers are answered. And Lord, I ask that you bless our country and elected leaders. Help them to become servants of the people rather than politicians. Help them to bring us together as one people, as we once were. And help us, Lord, always to remember that it is by the work, the lives, the blood of our military and members of our law enforcement community that we have the freedoms that we enjoy today. Bless everyone who serves us in various capacities. And now let us render unto God the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now render unto God the things that are God's by rededicating our time, talent, and giving our financial resources for the ministry of Cook's Church in the service of the Lord.
Thank you.
Please rise. As we render up our prayer, merciful and gracious Father, by your Spirit you open our eyes to your generosity bestowed to each of us that nurtures our souls. You have provided us with gifts we often take for granted. We dedicate a portion of your gifts of time, talent, and money to support the ministries of Cook's Church. Give us the humility and gratitude to continue to increase our commitment to serve others in need and support the gospel outreach of Christ to our community. In the sacred name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus. Let us walk the talk of the gospel of Jesus Christ, sharing the good news to all to whom we may meet. Be steady. Do the work of an evangelist in this community. Do the ministry that God calls you to minister as disciples of the Christ. And now go, knowing that the blessings and peace of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.